Wednesday, and Wednesdays we talk technology with our guru, Jeff Quattromani. How are you this morning, mate?
I'm really well. How are you?
Not too bad. Subscription services, I've got a few of them, and I think a lot of people do. I might be able to subscribe to a new iPhone.
Yeah, this is what could potentially be happening from Apple very soon. So at the moment, it costs well over $1,000 to buy a brand new iPhone. Not everyone can really stomach that kind of fee, especially when there's a new one coming out every year. So there's a chance that Apple may announce that you pay a monthly fee to have the new iPhone. And that means that you would pay the same fee every month, and then when a new model comes out, you walk into the Apple store, drop off the old one, and pick up the new model, and keep it refreshed, hopefully forever in their eyes.
They're coming out with new models what feels like almost monthly. So does that mean they'll slow down the turnover of models? Is this actually helping them so they don't have to come out with new stuff all the time?
So from a flagship Apple perspective, you've got a new iPhone usually coming out every September. The iPhone SE also comes out once a year as well, but it happens around the February, March of every year. So depending on when you signed up to the subscription, you could potentially say, right, when the new one's announced in September, I'm going to jump on board, pay whatever the fee is per month. Next September rolls along, you walk into an Apple store, drop it off, and walk out with the latest model.
Are they just throwing this idea out there, or have they started doing it somewhere?
Look, I mean, heavily rumoured. So, I mean, if they do it, I think it would be global. I don't see a reason why they wouldn't put a simple business model in place across every country, because I actually think the adoption would be higher. Once upon a time, when we worked with telcos, whether it was Telstra, Optus or others, you would actually pay a monthly fee for the handset repayments. They don't really do that as much anymore. They don't bundle them like they used to. So what you could find is that you pay your $40 a month to Apple, your $40 a month to your telco, and that's it. For $80 a month, you've got the latest phone on a good phone plan, and that could make a lot of sense these days.
Do you think things like insurance will be included in that figure? Because, you know, these are expensive. You don't want to have to be forking out if you accidentally drop the bugger.
Yeah, look, it's a really good question. I think if it's not included, you would want to add it on. I mean, having Apple Care as part of that would make a lot of sense, because you don't want to get to that new iPhone being announced. You walk into the Apple store and say, I'm ready to be upgraded, and they say, sorry, a couple of scratches on this one, you can't have it.
Yeah.
That would be a massive problem, so I can imagine.
Well, looking forward to finding out more about that. Now, you're saying here that Google is making inroads into health, with research showing smartphones could provide clinical diagnostics. I'm actually watching The Dropout about Elizabeth Holmes on Disney, and tech companies and health companies being mixed together now scares the bejesus out of me.
Look, I mean, the company that probably holds the most data about us, Google, is starting to think about health. I mean, it is a real thing that they've got access to more information about us than we may know about ourselves, especially since they recently acquired Fitbit, which has all of our movement data, sleep data, and things like that. So they've got a lot of data which they could be using to make decisions. And when you combine that with smartphones, what they're basically saying is the camera could potentially be doing diagnosis for your vision, to actually look at your eye and see if there are any irregularities there. But also, the microphone could be used to listen to your heart, to listen to heartbeats, or even to your breathing, to see if it can diagnose health issues there. So, I mean, if anyone's going to do it, I guess Google has the power to.
I suppose, Jeff, you're more of an adopter of technology than the rest of us. What do you think about them having access to that much of information about you?
Look, I mean, the reality is we kind of give it away for free, and we don't really bat an eyelid about it. I mean, if you think about just how much we do online, I remember when we all used to check in when we went to places on Facebook. We would always share our location.
Yes.
With whatever we were doing. We are telling the world everything about ourselves already, and I think it's not until something goes wrong that we may actually start to realize maybe I am giving too much away. So it is one of those questions as to whether do we care or do we not care about privacy? Because if we did, we'd probably think about the way we behave online a bit differently.
At the very least, in the future, instead of you having to ring your work to chuck a sickie, your phone will just take care of it for you.
An automated call will go to your manager. I'd like that.
Jeff Quattromani, as always, thank you very much for joining us to talk technology.
Thanks for having me.